Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Our people are suffering now, and they need support now. And they can all go down there and get back to work and figure out the budget cuts later. But we need the support now here in New Jersey.
This was a brutal event, particularly in the eastern part of the state, which had the highest winds. In the western part of the state, we had the most flooding.
There's an exactly opposite reality in upstate New York, the Mid-Hudson, the Catskills, the North Country, that paid a terrible, terrible price.
Well, that was the governor trifecta. Recognize the voices? New Jersey Governor Christie, Connecticut's Dan Malloy, and Andrew Cuomo from New York, talking about the damage sustained in the tri-state area after hurricane-turned-tropical storm Irene. In Jersey, flooding continues around the Passaic River and Patterson, which the president will visit on Sunday. That area has been particularly hard hit, lots of parts of the state as well. In Connecticut, over 250,000 homes and businesses are still without power. Half the state was out on Sunday. And in areas north of the city, including the Hudson Valley, bridges and roads have been washed away, leaving whole towns stranded. So now we'll talk to three elected officials from the areas, one from New York, one from New Jersey, one from Connecticut. And we'll start with New Jersey Congressman Bill Pascrell, Democrat from the district, including areas east of Passaic and Essex counties, including Patterson, Montclair, South Orange, Clifton, Little Falls, Passaic, Glen Ridge, Wayne, and Totowa. Of course, as I said, President Obama will visit Patterson in this district on Sunday. Hey, Congressman Pascrell, welcome back to WNYC.
Always good to talk to you, Brian. How are you this morning?
I'm okay, thank you. First of all, what do you think the president is going to do? What do you hope the president will do, and what difference it can make when he actually comes to the district?
Well, we don't need speeches. What we need is for the president to reach out to those people who are really suffering. We don't need photo ops. We need people to understand that the president does care, and the president therefore has to go to shelters and to the flooded area itself, and show that this is not just a Patterson problem or a suburban problem or an urban problem, that this has affected so many thousands. And Brian, we've taken 5,000-6,000 people out of their homes, out of their apartments. Some of these homes are so old, God knows if they're, the structure, the very structure is going to be able to withhold them continuing where they live. That's another problem. FEMA's been great. You heard Colonel Boulay just a few moments ago on the news from the Army Corps of Engineers. He's absolutely right. I've been saying it for 15 years. We've got to do something about the development along these rivers. There's no silver bullet here to prevent these things from happening.
Let's talk about the Passaic River. I know people around there say they've never seen it like this. The waters are beginning to recede at last report. What kind of damage are you seeing along its banks?
Tremendous amount of damage to businesses and homes all along the basin, the river basin. We were the last river in North Jersey to see the lowering of the river, and it's had a tremendous impact, Brian, a tremendous impact on people both in and harm's way and outside. You're reaching out to your neighbor. You're reaching out to your friends. This is what brings Americans together. This wasn't a Democratic or Republican storm. And I got a charge out of those in Washington who keep pretending that whether we're talking about unemployment, whether we are talking about the storm's effects. I mean, that's what government exists for, to help people when they need it most. I mean, there is a place for government. It can't solve all of our problems. It can't provide all the resources that we really do need. But it's part of the equation. It's part of the solution.
But we're going to hear next from Republican Congressman Nan Hayworth from the northern suburbs of New York, who's going to say that the expenditures that FEMA has to make, which she entirely supports because it's an emergency situation, need to be offset by cuts to things like the Energy Department or the Education Department, which she doesn't consider so effective. Otherwise, we just grow the deficit every time there's another big storm, which she considers untenable. Do you disagree with that?
I not only disagree with it, I like to debate him in public on this. This is absolute nonsense. It's insanity. We've never done this, whether we're tornadoes, forest fires, or fires out in the west. The tremendous amount of help we sent over to Joplin in their dire need, or major storms in Florida. We've always risen to the occasion. I mean, right now, FEMA is being suffocated by this stupid idea that the more you cut will solve our problems. We're cutting and losing jobs, number one. Number two, our people need help immediately. Not though they don't want to hear a debate between the Democrats and the Republicans about when should we cut and when shouldn't we cut. The cuts have caused job layoffs. There's no two ways about it. The stimulus might have not been the answer, but it helped during that period of time for a year and a half. It was only meant to last 2 years anyway. So I would love to debate this guy.
Nan Hayworth, Congresswoman Hayworth from New York.
We'll hear
her in a minute. Before you go, I do want to touch on the disappointing job numbers showing no net growth at all in August, first time in 11 months that has happened. 17,000 jobs added in the private sector, 17,000 cut in the public sector. Does this affect what you hope to hear from President Obama in his job speech next week?
Well, we certainly need to put a lot of people to work all along the East Coast and putting things back in place and getting people back to their normal way of living. It's going to take a long time to do that. We know that ever since the president raised his hand in January of 2009, Brian, when we lost 750,000 jobs in those couple of those months, we reduced the amount of jobs that have been lost. We now have gained jobs over the past 10 months. This was disappointing. But remember all the jobs that we've lost. We've lost public jobs. Public jobs continue, whether it's policemen, firemen, sanitation people. We got to understand that there's 600,000 to 700,000 of these folks have been laid off. Year and a half. If we continue to put our heads in the sand and don't recognize that that's part of the equation as well, then we're never going to address this. There's no
Congresswoman
Democratic
Hayworth
or Republican way. Well, but we got to do it together.
There apparently is a Democratic and Republican way. Congresswoman Hayworth will say that cuts to the public sector workforce are generally good because you generally don't get value for value with public expenditures rather than keeping the money in the private sector.
Then you tell that to the police officers and the firefighters who I've seen in my town, Paterson, New Jersey. I've lived there all of my life, Brian, who have saved lives. They do this every day. They don't need a hurricane to do it. That is a fool's way of looking at America. It is short-sighted, and it's getting us into deeper, deeper trouble. We lose more of these people. First of all, they go on unemployment. Where do they think the money's coming to pay their unemployment checks? What are you going to say? Cops and firemen get laid off? What, are they lazy? They're not going to be looking for other jobs? This has gotten us. This is what's caused the rancor and the conflict. We don't need that right now.
Okay.
My main concern is helping people. And I agree with the governor of my state, and I don't agree with him many times, as you well know. But he's done a good job of pulling the agencies together, getting above the partisan politics. Neither of these parties are parties, major parties, are privy to virtue. We all know that. And he's brought it together, and he's told Washington and people, folks like Mr. Cantor, he said it right and put the finger in their eye. Look, we don't want to be wasting debate time. We need to get these people back into their homes. We need to clean up around here. You know the municipalities can't afford to do all of this. And let's get FEMA to do it,
right,
and let's have the Army Corps there to also do what they're supposed to be doing. You cut these two entities, and you're never going to respond to this problem, and we'll still be debating this five months from now, 6 months from now, as we did with Katrina.
Congressman Bill Pascrell, Democrat from New Jersey's 8th District, including parts of Passaic and Essex County. President Obama will be visiting the district in Paterson on Sunday. Congressman, thanks a lot.
Always good to talk to you, Brian.
It's our tri-state round robin, 5 days after the hurricane and just after July's dismal jobs report came out. Next to New York Congresswoman Nan Hayworth, Republican from Westchester to the Poughkeepsie area and west into the Catskills, which got hit so hard. Congresswoman, welcome back, and I'm sorry under these circumstances for your district.
You know, Brian, as am I, and thank you for that sentiment. We've been hard hit, as has New Jersey. And we need to provide the help that people are expecting and rationally so from our federal emergency management facilities. So that's what we're going to be doing.
Well, when you talk about federal emergency management or FEMA, is there a controversy as far as you're concerned about which counties in New York State are being declared disaster areas formally in a way that would bring FEMA relief?
You know, Brent, I wouldn't say controversy, not that I've encountered in any case. I've asked that President Obama give designation for both public assistance and individual assistance to all of our constituent counties. And as I understand it at this juncture, just a few days out from the storm, it's a matter of making sure that all the damage assessments are done and processed. And I anticipate once that's accomplished that our counties all will qualify for the maximal relief.
So Rockland County, Putnam County, not on these FEMA assistance lists yet, I don't believe. But you're confident that they will eventually qualify?
Yes. I certainly will be pushing for the maximal relief that they can obtain, and it sounds to me as though they'll all hit those thresholds. So
good.
That's what we're looking for.
You've been touring the area, and later I gather you'll be in Tuxedo, New York, looking at the damage there. I understand that Tuxedo is one of the many towns which are inaccessible because of bridge damage. What have you been seeing yesterday and today in your district?
Sure. And, you know, Brian, we started on the road in the district actually the night that the storm started on Saturday night. We went around to our emergency centers, and then starting on Sunday night, going around the district to see what had happened. And I'm in Orange County today for the second time this week to survey specific areas that have been hard hit. We have seen businesses damaged, probably total losses here in Garnerville. We just left Garnerville, which has a light industrial combined mixed-use complex, artisans and artists and small businesses that have just been devastated. There was a raging torrent that went through that complex like nothing they'd ever seen. The Moodna Creek in New Windsor was also just an absolute whitewater river when usually it was a creek, and took out a bridge, took out a road in a local development. At least one house was condemned. And this is being, we're on our way to Tuxedo, as you mentioned. This has been repeated across this county, Orange County, and across our district.
I read that the only bridge to Tuxedo, and I don't really know if there's only one bridge that connects Tuxedo to the outside world, but the only bridge to Tuxedo has been washed away.
Yeah, we're going to be there shortly, and we'll be able to report on that. And of course, the Metro North commuter rail line has been severely damaged. The Port Jervis line is going to be out for at least 6 months.
Right, that's a Metro North stop.
Yeah, and that's a hardship for commuters. So there's much opportunity to provide help for rebuilding and restoration and recovery.
You were quoted on Wednesday saying this is a natural disaster in the middle of an economic disaster, and that the federal government has to balance its budget the way our families do. Does that mean you support House Majority Leader Eric Cantor's argument that more funding for FEMA, even for your own counties, needs to be offset by other cuts to the federal budget?
Well, it's a matter of priorities. So the message that I want to be clear is that the people who need that FEMA assistance are going to get it. There's no question about it. That is not something that should play on their minds in the midst of disaster, nor should any political theater be played in that regard. These citizens, these families and businesses and communities will get that relief. But look at the August jobs report. No jobs created the first time since 1945 when they started doing these statistics. No jobs created in this economy. Unfortunately, every dollar that the federal government takes without a clear and compelling reason to do so. FEMA funding, obviously, is a compelling cause. But there are many opportunities in the federal budget for us to balance that funding, and we do need to do that because we have 14 million Americans, including thousands in our own district, including, our small businesses in the complex that I just saw have been struggling for the past 2 years at least in an economy that doesn't have enough energy to support them and make them robust enough that they can very confidently say, we're coming back. So it's just a matter of being responsible, Brian, and it's a matter of priorities, and we can observe those priorities. The people who need that help will get it, and we will also honor a responsible approach to our budget. They're not incompatible. They're both necessities.
It's historically different, though, right? Because typically borrowing, for better or worse, mm-hmm. has accounted for emergency spending, emergency yeah. relief spending like this yeah. when it has yeah. exceeded federal expectations.
Yeah. Well, Brian, let's say this. We have to promptly determine how we're going to balance that spending, and we will. We are not going to fail to provide that relief in a timely way.
Do you recommend any particular cuts to offset it?
Look at the work that this committee, that the so-called super committee, is going to be doing already. They have to find $1.2 to $1.5 trillion of spending opportunities, spending cuts. Most of the opportunities are going to be identified in non-military discretionary spending. There are probably some large areas of the federal budget in that segment that are going to be looked at mm-hmm. very carefully,
all right.
Obviously there are some departments that a lot of us have argued about. There, you know, the Department of Education has unfortunately not arguably enhanced the educational value that our children receive in our communities, and the Department of Energy unfortunately has not produced the results that it should. There are definitely opportunities for us to manage things better. We have to, Brian, we have to. We have reached that moment in our national life.
We just have a couple of minutes before we continue with our tri-state round robin on the storm and the economic storm and talk to the Lieutenant Governor of Connecticut. But on the jobs report, as you say, a net zero for the month of July, and that's the first time in 11 months that no jobs have been created. Of course, back in the depths of the crisis, 2008-2009, there were hundreds of thousands of jobs being lost in individual
yeah.
months. But when you break this down, it's 17,000 jobs created in the private sector,
yeah.
17,000 jobs lost in the public sector. So some people on the other side of the aisle will say, look, we're going in the wrong direction. Our austerity policies are creating more unemployment when we should be creating more employment.
Brian, there is ample statistical evidence to show that a dollar that's left in the pockets of our citizens is going to be more wisely spent in the free economy, the free market economy, than it will be spent by the federal government. And that's the crux of this issue. We have a federal government that has been spending at a rate approaching 25% of our gross domestic product. That's unprecedented in peacetime. And for all of that spending and all of that increasing role of the federal government in our economy, we have not experienced value for money. And we can point across the country to examples of projects that were funded by the federal government that have not borne fruit, that could not be sustained in a smart marketplace, but the federal government threw dollars at them because someone somewhere wanted mm-hmm. to throw some dollars
All
in.
Right. Well,
you have to have a smart economy.
That
and I'm not talking, by the way, now about FEMA funding. That is not the issue here. But there are certainly issues, for example, with the Department of Energy's loan guarantee program. There were some very unwise investments made there, and they weren't carefully managed or administered.
And those debates will go on the two sides of the aisle. Last thing, and back to the storm and what you're dealing with personally with many of your constituents today. You know, we're asking all three of you in this round robin from the three states, is there anything that our listeners who are unaffected personally but may want to volunteer to help can do?
Yeah.
Are there any, you know, volunteer? We're hearing about people who are gathering up all their neighbors to go and, you know, lift up the soap rugs from one person's house and then going down the block and doing it for the next person's house. Is there any kind of clearing center for volunteers that you know of in your district?
I can think of two organizations right off the bat, Brian, and thank you for asking that question. The United Way and the Red Cross. And they're all eager, I am sure, to have volunteers participate. And if you call up your local United Way or Red Cross, they, I know, will have opportunities available for helping and volunteering. And it's a great thought, and it is quintessentially American to roll up our sleeves and volunteer and help. And I'm so glad you asked that question.
All right, and thank you for pointing people in those directions. And Congresswoman Nan Haworth, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Our Congresswoman Haworth interview recorded before we went on live at 10 o'clock today. And now to conclude our tri-state round robin, we look at Connecticut, where many are still living without power in the state. Lieutenant Governor Nancy Wyman joins me now. Thank you so much, Lieutenant Governor. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. I really appreciate you doing this. And for those people that are listening, I hope that they have power and that they're all well.
Well, at least they can listen to radios with batteries, so they don't need power for that. Half the state was without power as of Sunday, and of course there's flood damage. Some of the most affected areas, New Milford, Southbury, New Haven, Old Saybrook. East Haven, how much power is back?
Well, we believe that we're down to about 180,000 customers that are still without power. We were hit very, very hard in the eastern part of our state. About a third of our state was basically blocked out of having electricity. We're starting to literally see the light now, but we still have so many people out that we're getting more people on the ground from CL&T. We'll be having more linemen coming in today. Thank goodness that they were able to clear up the northern states above us so that now the linemen, more linemen can come down to our state. We've had workers from, you know, from Michigan, Missouri, Colorado, Canada now coming down to our state to help take care of some of our people. The frustration level grows every day with those that are out of power. They're not only out of power, they're out of water because many of them are on wells in our state. And, you know, you can understand that that people are, you know, kind of upset. But at the same time, what you're seeing, and at least in our state, as we travel around the state, Governor Malloy and I traveled around and split up and go all over, you know, when the lights are out, the traffic lights are out, you know, normally you would hear honking of horns and, you know, people yelling to keep moving. People are, you know, understanding that everybody, most people are hurting in the state, and that so everybody is being very courteous and trying to be very, very helpful to those people that are suffering. We've seen some terrible damage in our state.
Governor Malloy said yesterday that outside estimates that he's seen for costs of the damage were extremely low in his eyes. Does the governor's office have its own ballpark figure for how much this is costing the state and how much the federal government through FEMA or anybody else should be paying for it?
You know, we don't know exactly yet. The people from FEMA are on the ground with us. I went out yesterday with one of the teams from FEMA for inspections to one of our towns, and so far that we know of, there was about 130 homes that were destroyed. Our problem is that a lot of people haven't called them in. We've asked people to dial 211 to call and tell us about the damages that they have on their properties, even if they have insurance, because what it does is we need that information in order to apply for the federal disaster recovery funds. So some people have not even called in about they've had trees fallen on their roof. We were in one town yesterday, and we went through three houses, that the one that was really difficult mess, and the cheese had fallen through, and we lost back of the, some of the back of their house. You know, and some of them hadn't even called it in yet. It was just the locals, that local leadership, that had told us about it as we came out there.
That's a good tip.
So if people could call in, we would really appreciate that, to telling us what your damages were, so that we can either, you know, put that into the assumption so that we can get the federal.
And as of this morning, we saw that FEMA counted 132 homes officially destroyed by Irene in Connecticut.
Right.
So last thing, is there something that our Connecticut listeners could be doing to help their neighbors more than what they already may know about, you know, with people without power, unable to return to their homes, flood damage, whatever? Are there clearinghouses? Are there volunteer points where people can go for Labor Day weekend and say, I'm just ready to go to anybody's house who needs it and roll up my sleeves? Anything like that?
You know, I would suggest, as other people I'm sure have suggested, that you go, you call the United Way and the Red Cross. But I also would suggest that if you're in a town, that, you know, call your first selectman or your mayor, or if you know of other towns that are having, say, you know, that are really having problems, call those towns, and because the local towns are really handling. The state is coming in and giving the water and the food and whatnot. But I think that it would be very, very helpful if you're in a town that isn't having trouble. There are plenty of towns around that you can just call in and see where you can get help. We found that, you know, people were having, I don't know if you remember, because you're probably too young to remember, Brian, when there were people would sit around potbelly stoves and tell stories about different things. Well, when I, one of the towns I was there, enough people had brought enough chargers so that they could charge their telephones, their cell phones, mm-hmm. into there so that they could charge it up, and they were sitting around talking about it. You know, things like that. People might need some towels because people are going into our schools and showering. You know, any of those kind of things would be helpful.
And again, to reiterate what you said before, because it'll be helpful, including helping to maximize how much money you get from the feds. Listeners, report your property damage to 211 in Connecticut, or online at 211ct.org. And we thank the Connecticut Lieutenant Governor, Nancy Wyman. Thank you so much, Brian. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, a follow-up Friday segment on the storm. We've been talking about insurance a lot this week, and we will look at how the insurance industry is including global warming projections in its rates. Why was the insurance company first to officially start calculating impacts from projected global warming? And what have they figured out that politicians are still debating? Stay with us.